A new report out this morning says that every year at least 62,000 Massachusetts residents suffer from a medical error and that the problem has not improved in the past 5 years. Kim Holland, CEO of Signature Healthcare in Brockton, says the new numbers are disappointing.
We are working hard but not making the progress at the pace at which I think we can as an industry. I don't think we're even halfway where we can be.
The new report was compiled by a state agency called the Betsy Lehman Center for Patient Safety. WBUR's Richard Knox reports that the report also sheds new light on the human costs of medical injuries, and it suggests what patients, families, and the healthcare system can do about this persistent problem.
To put the numbers into perspective, the report suggests that on a typical day, at least 170 Massachusetts residents suffer from medical errors. Almost a third of these cause serious harm, and 10% are fatal. Many errors don't involve the really obvious never-should-happen mistakes, like doing surgery on the wrong patient or the wrong body part. Barbara Fain directs the Betsy Lehman Center, which issued the report.
Well, these errors happen in all healthcare settings. Basically, anywhere healthcare is delivered, they happen in medical offices. They can happen in a retail pharmacy. They happen in nursing homes. And they happen in really routine care.
That's what happened to Elaine Whitney. The North Shore woman developed congestive heart failure, or CHF, in her early 70s. It's a very common condition among people like her who've survived heart attacks. Her daughter, Diana Mamouni, is a nurse. She says her mother cycled in and out of hospitals and the rehab units of nursing homes as her symptoms worsened.
It's not an automatic death sentence or, CHF, you have 6 months. It's not that sort of thing. People live with this for years. And it's not just time, it's quality of life.
There are many things you can do for patients with congestive heart failure that do prolong life and help patients feel better. Mamouni knew that the main danger for her mother was that fluid could build up in her lungs and throughout her body. So it was vital that she be weighed regularly, preferably every day, to see if fluid was accumulating. If it were, medicines could ease breathing and support the heart. Problem was, Whitney wasn't getting weighed.
If you have congestive heart failure, no matter what stage you're in, daily weights. Daily weights. It is that basic. And I get the response, daily weight? We don't do that in this facility.
By the time Whitney was weighed, she'd put on 30 pounds in excess fluid.
She's lying in bed. She's using all her extra muscles to breathe. She has no energy. She is literally gasping like a fish on the dock. It's heartbreaking.
At one point, Whitney began complaining of intestinal pain. But the problem wasn't picked up on until she ran a high fever, a sign of sepsis or infection.
It turned out there was an obstruction in her intestines. And then when she had the huge fever and they realized she was septic, she shipped to St. Elizabeth's, where they do an emergency resection and colostomy. And that, emotionally for her, was a big kick. She never recovered from that surgery.
Elaine Whitney died in October 2017. More than a year and a half later, her daughter is still anguished about what happened.
So when people think medical error, they're like, oh, they were supposed to get this drug and they got this instead, or they think of a one-time thing. This is a whole systemic, I don't care. It's like she was meh to death, you know?
And that brings us to another important point in the new report. Interviews with 5,000 Massachusetts residents show that people who have suffered medical injuries or are close to someone who has experience long-term effects. Two-thirds of them are depressed and sad a year to 6 years later and often avoid medical care altogether. Dr. Thomas Gallagher of the University of Washington is a leading proponent of what he calls disclosure and resolution following medical harm.
We don't do a good job in healthcare of responding to these events and communicating about them with patients, and that just compounds their suffering.
But in the minority of people who say care providers did communicate openly after an injury and offered apology and support, these emotional effects were sharply reduced. So the report says that's one big thing caregivers and institutions can do to reduce the toll that medical injuries take on patients and families, at least after they've occurred. Preventing them from happening in the first place is a bigger and more complex problem, one that costs the healthcare system at least $617 million a year, according to the report. The first task is to track the medical injuries that occur. More than half happen in hospitals, but only a tiny fraction get reported. Some hospitals are trying to stop errors from slipping through the cracks. Kim Holland of Signature Healthcare in Brockton says staffers at his hospital gather routinely.
With employee huddles that ask every day, was there anyone that was harmed in the last 24 hours? And that rolls all the way up to our executive team every day at 4:30, and we keep track of that.
Staffers at the Betsy Lehman Center say patients inside and outside hospitals can play a role too. Studies show they're very good at spotting problems in their care, but often don't speak up if something doesn't seem right. Linda Kenny of the Betsy Lehman Center says they should.
And if somebody isn't listening, there are things you can do.
Are there magic words that people can say that will initiate that kind of attention?
How do I get in touch with the risk manager? That would be a word that people would pay attention to.
A risk manager's job is to minimize the risk of harm and of malpractice suits. All hospitals have them, but what about patients outside of hospitals? Kenny says patients and those close to them should pick up the phone and call the Betsy Lehman Center. She and her staff can steer people to those who can help. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Richard Knox.